Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. This is the first message of this new year. A happy new year to you. And the word in a word in scripture is happy people whose God is the Lord. The word is Asher. It means blessed. It speaks of a state of being that will never change. We're going to interrupt this series speaking about God's faithfulness that can be seen, to start this year off with a message that my pastor taught every year, and that hopefully, because it was dinned into me every year, I have at the God School continued to deliver this message. I hope that to those to whom God has given ears to hear will hear this message, that it will be effective, that it will stay with you throughout the year. In Deuteronomy 11, it says, the Lord cares for the land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And when God speaks of the land, he's not talking about dirt. He's talking of the people who inhabit the land. I'm talking today to God's people. That is, to the people who belong to the Lord. And with that, let's open your Bibles to Psalm 37. It says, God speaking through the psalmist David, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Now, to any who don't understand this word fret, it means stop worrying. Worrying never produced any results, any positive results. Stop fretting. We are in, if you're hearing this message, we are in this present evil world, but as the Galatian letter says, that Jesus Christ took upon himself all of our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And God begins this message by saying, fret not. In fact, in the first 8 verses, God says it 3 times. A good teacher will concentrate on the repeatables of God. If God says something once and you don't quite get it, don't worry about it. Don't fret. If he says it twice, pay attention. Here, God says it three times. And we'll get to the other two in a moment. What does the third verse say? You should, as, you know, I'm trying to share with you, to teach with you that which I've been taught. So, in underline the word in verse 1, words, fret not. Underline in verse 7, the words, fret not. Underline the words in verse 8, fret not. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know what this word verily is in the Hebrew? It's emenu, that from which we get our word amen. No doubt thou shalt be fed. Trust, it says in the Lord. The word in the Hebrew is betach. And it means to lean with your whole weight upon a staff with the expectation that the staff will hold you up. I have another translation with me this morning. It is the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says, it captures the full meaning behind the original Greek and Hebrew. I just want to share this with you. Verse 3, trust, it says, and then parenthetically, so you get the whole meaning, it says, lean on, rely on, be confident, have no doubt in the Lord. So, you know, we come to a question here. And the question is God trustworthy? Well, for 17 years, I've been teaching on God's faithfulness, on his trustworthiness, on his word of promise to those who do belong to him. I have been teaching on God's faithfulness, on his trustworthiness. So now, the next question is, can I trust in the Lord? You know, people may say, well, God, you know, I know you're in heaven, but I don't see any of your actions. Well, you know, we live by faith, not by sight. Yeah, but you don't know what my condition is. Well, you know, I'm teaching this message because of a condition I find myself in that is contrary to so many of the promises of God with regard to healing and health and wholeness and well-being. And I'm thanking God for the circumstance where I can reach into his word and to lean upon it and to rely on it and to be confident in it, to trust the Lord And I'm urging each and every one who hears this message today, if you find yourself in a circumstance which seems to deny the promise of God, well, reach up out of that circumstance. Grab hold. Rely on God who spoke it. And if he's spoken it, he will make it good. Yeah, but Don, you don't understand my circumstance. I've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Says I'm going to die. Well, if you're grabbing hold of that promise of God wherein it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, wherein God's word says of Jesus Christ that with his stripes we were healed, if you'll stay with that, rely on it, and you die, you're going to wake up in heaven being fully healed, eternally healed. Is a circumstance that's making you fret? Provision? You're lacking of this, that, or the other thing? Grab hold of the name of God. The Lord provides. And if you die in absolute poverty, grabbing hold of that name, you're going to wake up in heaven with more, exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or think. Verse 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself also, in addition to trusting in the Lord, God is saying to delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When you make our Father, your desire, he will give thee the desires of thine heart. How does another psalmist put it? He says in the 73rd Psalm, nevertheless, speaking of himself, I am continually with thee. You, God, have holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on the earth that I desire beside thee. Look, these are words of God as instructions for life, wherein fretting will be removed. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. This, you've been with me long enough, you know this is a word that comes out of the ancient camel train language, wherein the vendor carries his burden over and lays it on the back of the camel. He takes it off of him and he puts it on the camel. Here, the psalmist, God through the psalmist, is telling us, whatever your burden is, commit it to God. Trust also in him. And, you know, the King James, I don't know, they translate, I don't think they translated this properly. It says, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. No, what the Hebrew tells us is, the Lord knoweth. In the New Testament, we have the words, the Lord knoweth what we have need of. These are words of a relationship that the people who belong to God are having with our Father. It says in the sixth verse, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as light and as judgment in the noonday. There's a reference in my Bible to this phrase wherein it would bring us to the seventh chapter of the book of Micah. And it says, 7th verse says, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. This is a testimony of a Christian. Look, folks, if you don't understand, we are in a world today, and as the psalmist was then, as was in the time of Jesus Christ, as was in the time of the Apostle Paul, as ever was, because of our condition wherein we were removed from the presence of God, from our father and mother, Adam and Eve's transgression, wherein they did not trust in what God said. But the good news of the gospel is that for faith, God restores us to this relationship that he originally designed for mankind. Think on this. 7th verse says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. The King James translators, I think they just had a love or a love affair with this word patience or patiently. Most of the time in this word of God, the word should be translated enduringly, with endurance. It's not sitting around twiddling your thumbs. It's grabbing hold of the word of God, which is in your heart. Speak it forth with your mouth. Declare it out loud, and God will hear your prayer. Excuse me. Rest in the Lord, and wait with endurance for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I'm not going to get into the political scene, but wow. Wow. The president of these United States. Only thing I'm going to say about that is in the history of the people of God recorded in the Old Testament, it is understood that God gives leadership that the people deserve. God help all your people to renew the relationship with you and put on the new mind. Wherein we call God our Father. Think on that for a moment. Think on that for a moment. I want to go back to this first verse. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass. Wow. You talk about waiting. You know, this psalm was penned 3,000 years ago, and we're still experiencing the workers of iniquity. God says they'll soon be cut down like grass. Wait. Wait. And do it with endurance. Before we go on, I just want to emphasize this waiting. It says in the 22nd verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul, giving insight, says, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That's our hope. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with, King James again says, with patience. No, with endurance, wait for it. So God tells us four things we need to do to remove fretting from our lives. He says, trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way to the Lord, and rest with endurance. And the rest of this psalm is going to go on to tell us to those who are trusting and delighting and committing their way and resting with endurance in the Lord, God does these things. It says, let me gather these thoughts. Sorry for the delay. 16th verse of Psalm 37 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Don, are you saying in your life you're righteous? No, what I'm saying is we live in New Testament times, and God equates the life of faith with righteousness. What? Faith to God is righteousness. New Testament, good news. We look not on our righteousness, but on the righteousness, that gift from God that he gives us for faith. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. 18th verse. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. We are speaking of eternal life. And the hope thereof in the promise of our faithful Father. If I read this whole psalm, it would take a long time, so we're just going through a few. Sorry for the background noise. I didn't know the gardeners were coming today. If it bothers you, I'm sorry. It says, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. It says, for such as be blessed of him, that state of being shall inherit the earth. 23 says, the steps added by the translators of a good steps of a man, this man who is blessed of God, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Whose way? God's way. Who's the he? The one who delights in God's way. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, Psalm 84, 5 says, and in whose heart are the ways of thee. Listen to this. If your fretting condition is because of sin, that is hamartia, that is some shortfallen condition that you see yourself in, that you're fretting about. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Better translation is, though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down. Deuteronomy 33 says, underneath all are the everlasting arms. You can't go so low that God can't reach down and uphold you. Verse 25 says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I was going to give you a circumstance out of decades ago of my life, but my testimony is God is faithful. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. Oh, well, Don, I'm no saint. Yes, you are, in the meaning of that word found in the Greek, which has to do with this relationship of commitment to God. Hagios is the word. You can find it in heathen religions, wherein the prostitutes in the Temple of Diana committed themselves unto Diana to be serviced by the priests. Hagios, saint, committed. Commit your way unto the Lord. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. The Lord will not leave him to this man who's not fretting and is trusting and desiring the Lord and committing his way and rest and resting with endurance. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, that is the hand of the wicked, nor condemn him when he's judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. This word in Psalm 34, or verse 34, is a word with the hope and expectation. Let's look to this verse. I have seen the wicked in great power. If you've got any understanding at all, you'll be able to relate to this. Spreading himself like a green bay tree. Sorry, that blower's getting closer. I hope you can hear me. This must be a good message. I had to put that on pause for about 3 minutes just to let that interruption pass. It says, like a green bay tree, which just spreads over everything. Oh, God, help us. Pray that God would give us a leader of the mind of our fathers who founded this country, who were led of God. To create something new in the earth, which they did with God's leading them. Pray that we might get back that same spirit of leadership someday. Psalm 37, or verse 37 says, mark the perfect and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Who is that? Now, I'm gonna about to blow so many doctrines of men, which says you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do not this and do not that to be saved. So verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Both the salvation and the righteous is of the Lord. And the Lord, verse 40, shall help them, and he shall deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, it's really kind of interesting because the Hebrew now, not the word batach, but the word hasah. Boy, the devil really doesn't want this message delivered. He's trying to interrupt it again. But this word being translated trust is, the word is hasah. It means to run for refuge, for shelter, under the wings of a mother bird or the shelter of a rock. This Amplified Bible finishes this 40th verse and says, because they trust and take refuge in him. I like it. Let these words reside in your heart as the chaos of this evil world and all its circumstance, wherein the God of this world would have you break from trusting in the Lord, from making the Lord the desire of your heart, from committing your way unto the Lord, and resting and waiting with endurance. For God is faithful. Who is this Lord that will help and deliver, and deliver them from the wicked and save them? It is that man of peace. It is Jesus. Jesus is the Greek of the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua, his original name was Joshua. But the Lord said, call him not Joshua, but Jehoshua. Je is the contraction of Jehovah. Joshua means helper. This perfect man, the upright man, the one and only man, righteous in the earth, Jesus, God, our helper. Trust and seek refuge in him. And he said, those who are burdened and heavy laden, come unto him, and he shall give you rest. Words to live by all year, every day if necessary. Trust in the Lord, in God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, and God will give you the desire of your heart. That is, he will give you himself. And that's the God School for today.